You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development and the United Nations Non-Governmental Liaison Service.
I'm an economist for many years. I've worked in a bank, and 2 years ago I came across conception stage. So I was thrilled, and I became part of it, and this is how it's my hobby, actually, this. It's the first time I participate in a conference and do some research. It's not my field, but my field is more ordinary monetary economics. So I combine my knowledge of traditional economics with my understanding of how these systems work. This is the overview of the presentation. I will outline the purpose and the scope of the research, present briefly the background of the economic crisis in Greece, a very quick overview of the literature on LETs and CCs, since most of the other speakers have already covered the subject. I will go through that quickly. Briefly present the LETs landscape in Greece, and then I have some empirical research which was conducted through a questionnaire among the LETs that operate in Greece right now. So we investigate two types of CCNs. If you remember, in the first presentation, there were four generations. The first were the LETs, then the time banks, and then some newer generations. The ones that we're going to focus are the two that presently exist in Greece, and these are the local exchange trading systems and the time banks. Those two presently operate in Greece. Most of them use electronic system, and a lot of them are using Cyclos, actually. We try to support to present the view that indeed CCNs, for the case of Greece, as was mentioned earlier, can be a solution, a relief at least during this severe liquidity and banking crisis, and then we will. Make a comparison using the questionnaire responses between LETs and time banks. A quick overview of the situation in Greece. Until 2009, the crisis hit United States and other more advanced economies earlier. In Greece, it started in 2009. Until then, Greece was 12th among the richest OECD countries, with 85% of the euro area level income and 92% at the European level. We right now feel, as poor as Nigeria maybe or something. The result is we had a very rapid deterioration of our standard of living. This started as a twin deficit, both government and external. If you have a common currency that you don't control, the two deficits merge into one huge, which created a debt at 120% and now 160%. The austerity measures that were supposed to reduce this deficit instead increased both debt and deficit. Now the public sector deficit is down, the external deficit is down, but people are much poorer in the process. Unemployment is 26%. In fact, it's not 50 but 60% unemployment for the people between 17 and 25. Small businesses are closing down daily. Every second store in Athens is closed. Just in 1 year, real disposable income decreased by 10%. Cumulative loss of output was 25% by the end of estimated by the end of 2012, and it's still going down. So we expect more than a third of the GDP to be lost during this deep recession. Homelessness was non-existent in Athens, and now there are lots of people that need attention. 250,000 people need to be fed. Thank you. So the crisis is not going to go away, unfortunately. These are indexes, graphs that I produced from data available from Bank of Greece and the National Statistics Service. Just we see that the money supply has shrunk deeply. This is 2009. It's going down, all measures of it, M1, M2, M3. The GDP index is just an index, is also going down. This is the background about which we are going to in which we are operating. The overview, this, as I mentioned before, I will go quickly because a lot of people discussed about these things earlier, and in fact, I have read Bernard Litter's articles and books, and I'm of the same view that these currencies can help in situations where we have severe liquidity crisis and the banking system isn't doing its business, is not providing credit at all, and liquidity crunch is suppressing even more the economic activities, not just the government cutting down on salaries of public sector. It is the liquidity that is making the problem even worse. So again, here we have the types available, and I'm going to focus on local exchange trading systems and time banks because these are the two forms that exist in Greece. None of them are using any form of printed money. They're using their own virtual currency. It's electronic. Or it is, in the case of the time banks, it is hours of work. And at least there is no printed money at all circulating. It's all virtual. They are very local, all of them. And in general, they set the lets, at least, they set the virtual currency equal to euro just to facilitate people evaluating the services and goods they offer. Before the year 2010, the very mention of the word currency network was something that was unheard of. Nobody knew anything about it. And suddenly, within less than 3 years, we have 33 groups. I counted 31. Another work, a PhD thesis by Irini Sotiropoulou, lists 33. Some of them are non-operative. I used only those that have a registered website and email address. And now I will go on with the empirical research that we conducted. We generated a questionnaire consisting of 24 questions. Nine of them are demographic, and 13 questions refer to the characteristics of the networks and the experience of the member. The idea at the beginning was to assess those networks and see who are more successful than others. Actually, in the end, we abandoned this idea because actually we didn't have the tools to do it properly, or the sample was not big enough. And instead, we tried to investigate their motives for participation, their values, and as well as to investigate if there are any significant differences between lets and time banks. In the same questionnaire was addressed to both. The responses were analyzed with SPSS. So the questionnaire was sent to all 31 actually, there's an error there, lets and time banks that had an email address. And a number of questionnaires were distributed during meetings in two of those that operate in Athens and Volos. Actually, I cannot claim that this sample is random. The two organizations that I investigated more thoroughly and I have more responses is because in the one I am a member, the other one I know people there, so they were more helpful in distributing the questionnaire to their members. Otherwise, the responses needed more personal contact. People are suspicious. They preferred not to respond unless they knew who is asking. So more work is needed. And so I consider this a pilot study. It needs to be repeated. So we formulate the hypothesis to see whether the motivations and the satisfaction levels are the same, or there are any significant differences between LETs and the time banks. We have more men responding than women here. Families with children are underrepresented. More of the people are single. What is important to know is to notice is that the educational level is relatively high. We have 30% of the respondents that are unemployed, is close to the national average, actually. It's not much higher here. And a lot of people are self-employed. Self-employed people can manage their time better, but they're also heavily hit by this recession, and they have the capacity to offer and not enough demand for their services. We didn't have...
One more minute,
thank you. So let us look quickly at the results. Age distribution and income distribution includes all the categories. And here I would like to see the transactions that they have. Here, this is the average value of transactions, very low. Here I concur with the results of other research that the economic impact of those organizations is very, very low. Average value of the transaction is between 50 and 100 euros estimated. It is high. It's relatively higher in the case of LETs compared to time banks. Now, the average number of transactions here is not actually three transactions. It's rather between 10 and 20, because there were scales. And so this corresponds to between 10 and 20, and this corresponds between 10 and 20, and this between 20 and 30 for 1 year transactions. And indeed, statistically, the transactions of LETs members are higher. So this could be one measure, quantitative, for example, of effectiveness. Then we had questions about the goods available. There is a link where someone can look at the questionnaire in English. There is a link in Chrome documents. Within the paper, there is a link where someone can look at the questionnaire. The types of goods that are available, we have very few goods and more services, because this is not addressed to businesses. On the contrary, it's each one of them has been created by groups of people that wanted to respond to the gloom and misery of the situation we're living in. And this came also from the responses. Some of the questions that were very strong, received very strong responses, were the desire to offer, the solidarity, and trust in the network, much more than issues like questions included, I want to complement my income, I want to find clients, etc. These issues were stronger. Here we have...
I'm sorry to interrupt. Given the fact that we started so late and we're overrunning,
yeah.
And
I will finish.
And that everybody else stuck to their 10 minutes, can you go straight to your conclusions now?
I will go straight to conclusions.
Yes, and we'll make sure everyone has the link to the paper.
Yes, the sample was relatively small, as I mentioned. The impact in terms of economics is yet very small, but most of them are under 3 years old. Some of them It is evident that will not be there a year from now, but a few of them are flourishing. And it's interesting to follow up this and see what are the characteristics of those groups that are growing and what made them go ahead. For example, the one in Volos is doing very well. It's increasing membership every month. But there's a long way before they can help in the economic situation. On the other hand, they are very helpful in the psychology of people, in building solidarity, in making people feeling that they take their fate in their hands. And another important thing that needs to be addressed before I close is these are operating in a vacuum, regulatory, tax, etc. And businesses and professionals are afraid to participate for fear that they will be, as mentioned before, accused of tax evasion. And now tax evasion has been a national sport in Greece, but due to the fiscal difficulties, the government is seriously, after all these years, going after tax fraud. So people are afraid. And actually, the people themselves, the respondents themselves, would rather not see the government involved in any way. There's a deep mistrust right now between all those Let's and Time Bank members and government. So they don't even want to see that. But on the other hand, they will be not able to grow unless something is done at this level.
Thank you. Cheers. Thanks. And of course, that opens up a question immediately about how the relationship to tax authorities can be managed well, and what does that mean? And so I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, but also anyone's thoughts from the panel and in the room about that. I have some of my own. So let's start with that issue, the really tough one, the relationship to tax authorities. Any thoughts on that issue from the panel or from the floor?
All right. So the situation with tax and these currencies, these social currencies, say, is different in every country. And some countries have more elaborate schemes around it, more clearer gray zone, so to speak, where you can trade a certain amount of credits or a certain corresponding amount of euros per year, or they have a general tax exempt status for Time Banks, for example, in the UK and the US to some degree. That is something that needs to be lobbied for, that won't come by itself, so staying under the radar and hoping nothing will happen is a strategy that we decided not to go on. Of course, we are on the opposite side of that, actively approaching policymakers now, because where the problems here are still marginal also, if you try to implement currencies of more impact and more scale and scope, the problems get bigger as well, and we need to have this regulatory security very soon.
It is a situation like a knife cutting both edges, because on the one hand, it is necessary to do this lobbying, otherwise those groups will stay marginal. On the other hand, the members themselves are distrustful of the government. However, a certain level of transactions can continue, but not involving products, goods, unless, I mean, it's self-produced. If it's something that you made with your hands and you're not an official registered merchant or a storekeeper, you can do it without fear. But normal registered businesses, they cannot do it. Or the only way they can do it is to pay the VAT in euro, and then the rest of the value to be in the alternative currency. This is the only safe way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Maria, you had some thoughts on the question of tax.
Well, I also found that, at least in Netumin, they are also distrustful of the government. However, like, I do think that, like, their potential could be, like, increased if there was some support from the government. But in the case of Mexico, at least, first, they need to have recognition from the government, and then they could have, I don't know, I heard in the other conference that perhaps, like, these pull factors, perhaps, like, if you are able to pay your taxes with that. But then I see a problem with that, because if they accepted the government, then they won't be able to spend it outside, so it wouldn't be, like, it takes away the local nature of the currency. So perhaps just a discount if you have two means. or well, the local currencies.
That is more. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, you said a lot of these systems are using software, and of course, all the transactions therefore can be quite easily mapped, and therefore this could even be a helpful way of recording and documenting activity, and therefore accurately what your tax bill should be in the national currency equivalent. I think the best thing, well, I would like to see happen is more and more local governments, and indeed national governments, being prepared to tax complementary currency transactions in that complementary currency. Because then, of course, it, as Bernard Leiter rightly pointed out, that then adds to the confidence in and value of that currency. And, of course, it means, yes, the government is therefore going to be spending that back into that local community. The charging of tax in a currency that a community doesn't use is actually the main tool of imperialism and tyranny throughout history. And that's something to keep in mind as well. Any thoughts on this one? And we'll just hear what. By the way, for example, you know, the British government decided to tell the American colonies you must pay in gold rather than colonial scrip, and that's what led to the War of Independence.
I think that there's a fundamental problem here, and that's the nature of the social contract that's going on in each one of our countries. Because if you try to make an agreement with a national government that is not supporting or is forced not to support the local economy, I think that the problem in Greece is a very, very profound political problem. You will not get, under the current political conditions and under the current political constellation, that the national government could support these, because it takes away from the power of the international.
So that's one statement exactly the opposite statement could be made, that because of the mass contraction in liquidity that you saw just there with the early slides, that actually the promotion of alternative local liquidity, so long as it doesn't enable tax avoidance or evasion, could actually get the economy moving again and actually reduce the backlash against the euro and the European project, and as we were discussing earlier, therefore take out some of the sting which is leading to far-right politics. So I would pick you up on that and say, well actually we could explore how these alternatives could actually ally with the central government's approach.
I just wanted to say that I think barter systems between companies, which operates with a local currency, there is always an invoice and taxes are levied on those invoices. But surely that's much more attractive, because provided the circuit, there is an acceptable circuit, so that the company that gets the paid knows how it can spend and where it can spend it. The taxes are only levied on a small part of the income, because the local money attracts the national currency, and there will be commercial circuits that will develop. Maybe there's a psychological threshold that has to be overcome when it comes to paying taxes on a commercial circuit which is put into place.
I understand, but I will answer in English. If 23% VAT is paid on transactions made in local currencies, of course the government has no reason to object, but that makes it less interesting for participants. The idea is to have at least a reduced tax, if it is in euro, or even better, to have the tax paid in the local currency. Yes.
Any other comments on this issue from the panel or the floor? Staying on this issue for now, yes? Okay.
So, Bernard Dugas, I'm an engineer. I wanted to say that the speaking about tax evasion for complementary currencies is not making a fair faire. Oh, je vais continuer en français, c'est trop dire.
I think I'll speak French if you don't mind. It's not fair to say that about complementary currency. If you look at the way in which money is generated in the euro, if you look at the euro, the 18,000 billion euros have been created by credit, have been distributed by private banks in the form of credit, and out of these 18,000 billion euros, zero euros tax have been paid. And that's and in Switzerland, in Swiss francs, there are billions as well for which no tax has been paid. So just to say that there are some companies that have not paid tax on some transactions in complementary currency would be unfair to stigmatize.
That some of the leading complementary currencies initiatives in Europe, and particularly in Greece, are facing challenges or difficult questions. I know, for example, Gianni, the guy who runs the one in Volos, has been approached quite often by the tax authorities. And so it's a real issue that they're dealing with now. And it connects to a broader issue that David Barkins brought up about the relationship between citizens and the state. And of course, in the context of austerity and difficult budgets and so on, and the broader issue of the role of government relating to this and the SSE. So that's, I think, why it is quite an important issue. And yes, of course, absolutely keep perspective and where who's really owing government tax. Yes, cheers.
I would just ask, like to ask one question. Imagining, I don't know any answers to the tax question, but imagining that a state allows taxes paid in local currencies. At one point, you have a budget with 50% national currency, 20% this city, 15% that village, 5%. It requires more complex governance. On one hand, it would promote local economy from the state, but would require a lot of intellectual work among the bureaucrats in a central government. And I believe that's also a problem.
Great points, and that's the kind of thinking I think we really need to have in this field, is imagining where this is all going to go and how do we design this to scale and what issues will arise. Any comments on this? Christoph, you look like you were itching to talk there. Okay, here we go.
Well, just to, I think nobody suggested that the national government should accept local currency for tax, but in the sense of subsidiarity, and I'm never sure if that works in English as well as it works in Germany, but really solving the problems at the appropriate level. In London, for example, the local municipality makes it possible for the local currency to be to be used for the payment of the local taxes, which is, for example, the business rates, the business tax, and that can go on all the levels. We don't want to make it more difficult for anybody, just more efficient.
It also brings up the issue of how do all these different currencies become able to be exchanged between each other, and maybe there will be a common unit. And so that's something that software engineers in this space have been working on, developing inter-trading systems so that you can take your local currency and transact it, exchange it for another local currency. And then when you start thinking about that, wow, what are the implications of that going forward? So it's a beautifully complex, fascinating, innovative, challenging, multidimensional issue, and with lots of strong views on either side. I'll shut up now. Thank you very much for coming, and thank you again to our panelists.
Check out our other podcasts, available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.